Now you've got the string. The string's gone missing. String? My necklace. No, okay, never mind. Ballet dancer. That's it. Never mind. I'll put on here. Yes, okay. I'll put it on. So it doesn't fall off. Very good. So just wait for a few more people to come in after the wonderful breakfast for you, cooked by volunteers. How kind they are. And just for a little bit of, this is not really the talk, I always find in my life, whenever you volunteer to do a bit extra for people, whenever you cultivate kindness, you never ever lose out. Even those people who were cooking the Singapore breakfast this morning, even though they couldn't meditate after the chanting because they were working, nevertheless they make such good karma, create happiness for people. That happiness and good karma will be paid off later on. When I understood that, any work was around, I'd always volunteer to do it. It was a privilege, and I knew that would enhance my meditation. But anyone who thinks, oh, this is eating into my meditation time. Oh, I know I paid money for this retreat, so other people should be cooking, I shouldn't be doing any work. Oh, that type of mind destroys your meditation. But the mind of generosity, the mind of kindness, the mind of service, if there's something you can do for somebody else, you do it, you never miss out. You get deeper meditation, more energy, more happiness. So those people who did that this morning, you're very lucky. That will enhance your meditation. I think most people who are in, So I'll begin today's talk. And as you will notice, as the retreat progresses, you know, so the talks will also progress. So very soft talks in the beginning, middleway talks in the middle, and on the end, the hard stuff. But I just can't do that. Because there's nothing hard about meditation. In one of the classic translations from the Buddhist suttas, there was one done many years ago by Venerable Jnana Tiloka called The Word of the Buddha, a direct translation from the suttas. The Buddha said, "This is a path without groaning." No groans. No, oh, this hurts. If you are groaning, you've missed the path. If you're peaceful and happy, you are on the path. For example, one of the teachings, the very simple teachings, which I want you to bear in mind throughout this retreat, it's the very well-known teaching of the Four Noble Truths, especially number 2 and number 3. Because there are actually 2 types of meditation. But those 2 types of meditation are not samatha and vipassana. No, those are the same. The two types of meditation are second noble truth meditation and third noble truth meditation. You all know what the second noble truth is, I hope. The second noble truth is the cause of suffering, which is craving, which is wanting, which is striving for something. And that's what the Buddha taught. Craving leads to suffering. So that's the first type of meditation. You crave, you want, you strive for something. And what do you get? Suffering. So if you've been suffering in your meditation over the last couple of days, what have you been doing? Craving, stupid. You have been doing second noble truth meditation. It's a wonderful teaching because it means every time you are suffering, every time you're frustrated, every time you're disappointed, oh, my meditation's hopeless, oh, I'm not getting anywhere. That is second noble truth meditation. You've been wanting, you've been craving, you've been striving, and that's where it leads. Very simple teaching of the Buddha. So do you want to suffer? No. I want to be happy. So you should do third noble truth meditation, which is letting go of craving leads to the happiness of nirvana, leads to peace, leads to stillness. So if ever you have a peaceful meditation, if ever it gets very deep, still and happy, why? Because you've let go of craving. Well done. You have just been doing third noble truth meditation to end suffering. Such a simple teaching, but very profound. So when you've had a meditation, you feel really upset, that was the worst meditation. Don't just think because you weren't trying too hard. It was because you were trying. That's the problem. Don't think, that because you weren't trying enough, I meant. It was because you were trying, that's why it was suffering. So see if you can learn how to let go. And when it's peaceful, when it's calm, when it's beautiful, that was letting go. And if you follow that simple teaching, make sure you only ever practice third noble truth meditation. Letting go of craving leads to nirvana, leads to peace, leads to stillness. Then you'll be a very great meditator. You know how to make the mind peaceful. Remember that teaching I gave the first night. How do you hold, I've got some water here. How do you hold the glass of water still? This is second noble truth meditation. Trying, 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 trying. Holding, holding. Craving, craving. I will never get this water still. That is third noble truth meditation. No craving, let it go. And it becomes still all by itself. Eventually you will notice it's the craving which is the problem. It's the wanting, it's the striving, it's all this activity. That's the problem. So you can't stop activity by making more activity. You can't stop craving by craving to stop craving. You just learn how to do this wonderful thing of letting things be. And how do you let things be? I've already told you how to let go of all the past. It doesn't matter how delicious the breakfast is. It's gone now. Oh, what a shame. And it doesn't matter how unpleasant the lunch is. That hasn't arrived yet. And whether it tastes nice or it tastes terrible, whether it's Western food, South Asian food, or Singapore food, whether it's a durian or whether it's a jackfruit, it all comes out your bottom the same. I always like thinking like that, because it means, why are you so worried about the food? It all comes out the same. No difference. Western food, Asian food, it's all brown when it comes out. But that's the past, that's the future. So we learn how to be content. When we chant morning and evening, especially the Metta Sutta in English, it's not just for the happiness of all beings. It's also for instructions in your meditation. Early morning and evening brainwashing. What's the way? This is the path. May they be contented and easily satisfied. Not proud and demanding in nature. Are you demanding of your brain and mind to meditate? Come on, get your act together, mind. Come on, be peaceful, watch the breath, sit still, walk. Are you demanding like that? Are you contented and easily satisfied? I'm just happy with the progress so far. Even though I've been falling asleep, well, at least I haven't been worrying about things. Can you be contented and easily satisfied? If you can, we call that doing the practice. This is good enough. This is good enough. So throughout your meditation, please remember that saying. This is good enough. It doesn't mean that you're not going to attain high things. People, especially in Singapore, they think you've got to strive. Aim high. Really put forth effort, set goals, and then you will achieve. That's what you do when you go to work. When you come here, you must lower your expectations. Give up. Admit it, you're hopeless. And don't be content with how you are so far. And then you'll find a strange thing happens. When you're content, easily satisfied, not demanding in nature, you're letting go of craving. And find a strange thing happens. Your mind becomes still, all by itself. And you didn't do anything. It was just happened. Exactly. You've just done third noble truth meditation. You've let go of craving and controlling. I love telling the story when I was in our tradition, 5 years you have to be with a teacher. And after you finish your 5 years basic training as a monk, then you're free. You can leave the monastery and go by yourself to visit other great teachers. Go to the mountains and the caves and the jungles. Go and face the tigers and the elephants in the wild. And that was after 5 years. I did all of that. Trying to find ghosts. Trying to find elephants, tigers. As the old saying goes, I never saw any tigers. Actually, in Thailand, they weren't dangerous for monks. You know what was dangerous for monks? Not the Thai girls. The Thai girls. They ate many of my friends. But after wandering around, when it came to the retreat time, we're just finishing the retreat time now, you had to stay in one place. And I found the perfect monastery for an English monk. up in the mountains in the north of Thailand, which means it was nice cool weather. A big cave, because I love caves. That's why I live in one now. Not quite the same size. But, you know, this was really nice big limestone cave. And the best thing of all, it was right in the middle of a tea estate. This was heaven for an English monk. I had all the tea I could drink. Because English people like their teas. That's why I was very attracted, even before I saw him, to Ajahn Chah. Anyone whose second name means tea. was my monk. So, I found this beautiful monastery. And best of all, it was actually deserted. And I asked the villagers, why aren't there any monks here? It's perfect. It was all built already, didn't need to do any maintenance. And they said because it was too quiet. Many monks couldn't stand it there. Nothing happened. As for the there was a traffic problem. Because the road going past. And once a week, you'd see one car. It would come up to bring the mail and go out to take, you know, other mail and fruits and stuff. It was one car a week. That was a traffic problem. So it's ideal. And so I thought, I'm going to spend the rains here. The first couple of weeks, my meditation was really good. And then it started to fall apart. And then I couldn't stop thinking. And I was thinking, not just ordinary thoughts. And I was still very young. I was at 28, 29. I started thinking unmonkish thoughts. Thoughts of my old girlfriends. I wonder where she is now. What is she doing? Shut up, you're a monk. And romantic fantasies. Finding the girl of your dreams. Your soulmate who's out there somewhere and is pining for you because you're a monk. All stupid stuff. Now, I said, stop here, I'm a monk, so watch your breath. But what happened? Every time I tried to watch the breath and push those thoughts away, they'd come in even stronger. And as the days went by, it was like I was going crazy. I just couldn't stop those thoughts coming in. Even weird sexual fantasy thoughts, they'd come in, I'm a monk, I love being a monk. But I couldn't stop those thoughts. And after a few days, I thought I was... Because there was no one to talk to, no one to get advice from. I was by myself. And I got so desperate one day. The only thing I could think of doing was going to the big Buddha statue in the main hall, bowing three times, putting my hands up, and saying, help. Because I was really going crazy. And I don't know if this is like psychic stuff, or it's probably just, you know, when you actually ask, you're thinking and you get an idea yourself. So the idea came into my mind to do a deal. You know, because Westerners, you know, Singaporeans are the same, you know, do a deal. And the deal was this. I would allow myself to think any thoughts at all, even the weirdest, craziest, romantic or sexual fantasies, from 3 to 4 p.m. every afternoon. The rest of the time, I would have to behave. I'd give myself 1 hour to do whatever. And I would not stop it. Anything goes, even the weirdest stuff which you'd be embarrassed to tell, you know, anybody, that would be okay between 3 and 4. The rest of the time, behave. That sounded fair to me. If you want to do that, okay, 3 to 4, off you go. When you've had enough, then we can go back to meditation. But it never worked the way I thought it would. And I was still struggling all the time to watch my breath, to be peaceful. Every time you started to watch your breath, it's as if like these thoughts would kick down the door of your mind. And they just burst in. You try and chase them away and they burst in again. It was impossible. But it was also very, very tiring. because you know what it's like to fight your mind. And so when it got to 3 p.m, I was actually quite exhausted. And I went up to my room, leant against the wall, put my feet up, because I was really sore fighting and trying. I said, okay, 3 o'clock now, you've got 1 hour. You can think anything you like, any girlfriend you used to have, any sexual fantasy, any romance, anything which you'd be embarrassed to tell anybody about. You can think anything now. And for the next 60 minutes, my mind watched every breath without missing one. And no thought came into my mind at all. It was crazy. What's going on? That's where I learnt where all those thoughts came from. Every time I fought those thoughts away, they just got stronger. Every time I said, no, get out of here, I was giving them much more power. And says, okay, you can come in if you want. Here we go. What are you going to show me now? Because I let go, because I was contented, whatever happens is fine. I wasn't demanding, fault finding, no craving, just whatever. Then my mind became very peaceful. And because it was peaceful, it didn't need those thoughts. I had a very peaceful hour. It worked. But it also taught me a very deep lesson on what meditation is. The more you try and control, the more force you put in, the stronger those negative defilements become. You are feeding them, making them stronger. So that is actually how to deal with these things. If you haven't stopped thinking since you've been here, give yourself 1 hour every day to think whatever you like, and that will be the most peaceful time of the day, and you get into deep meditation then. That is what the difference between Third Noble Truth and Second Noble Truth meditation is. When you learn to let things be, contented and easily satisfied, not wanting anything, not wanting to get rid of things, you become peaceful. And this whole meditation is about being peaceful, finding peace of mind. Unfortunately, many people think that you've got to get everything just right before you can have peace of mind. You've got to get all the old jobs out of the way first, and then I'll get peace of mind. That's where we come to one of my favorite stories of the monkeys. Once upon a time, on the Katina Day, which is coming on Sunday, on Katina Day in a monastery in Sri Lanka, a monkey went to visit the temple. He went to visit the temple on Katina Day because on that day thousands of people come to the temple to make offerings, and they bring lots and lots of food. And of course, with so many people and so much food, someone is going to drop a mango, someone is going to leave a banana unattended, and that would be the monkey's lunch. So he was waiting for someone to leave something unattended or drop something. And he just happened to be close to the Dharma hall where the monk was giving a teaching. And you know what the monk was talking about? The monk was talking about meditation and the dangers of the monkey mind. Have you heard that before, the monkey mind? A monkey mind is supposed to be like a monkey in the jungle, swinging from one thing to another. You can imagine the monkey is on one branch and he's swinging to the next one, but he's 3 or 4 branches ahead. He's planned it exactly where he's going to swing. Just like the breakfast this morning, you didn't do 1 spoonful at a time, did you? You lost it because it was too delicious. You had the monkey mind this morning. But the priest, the monk, was saying, monkey minds are bad minds. You don't want to have a monkey mind if you're a meditator. One thing at a time. Be peaceful. Stop swinging around all over the place. Stop having a mind which thinks about this and then thinks about something else. Always swinging backwards and forwards. That's a monkey mind. When the monkey heard that, he said, "What's wrong with a monkey mind? I'm a monkey. There's nothing wrong with monkey minds. Monkey minds are good. What do these human beings know? This is discrimination." It's just like men saying women are stupid. What do men know about women? What do women know about men? Monks know about both of you. These human beings, they're defaming us. That's slander. They can't get away with that. The monkey got really angry. And so he swung quickly back to his friends in the middle of the jungle. "You wouldn't believe what these human beings are saying about us. They say we've got monkey minds," which we agree, we are monkeys, we've got monkeys. "But they say it's bad, and it's terrible, and it's wrong. They can't get away with this. We should get a lawyer and sue them for defamation." And they're all jumping up and down. "Yeah, let's get a lawyer. We can't stand this. This is discrimination. You can't have this in a modern world." And the leader of the monkeys said, "Stop it. Look at you, jumping up and down like that. The monkey's right. You have got monkey minds. You can't be still." And all the monkeys thought, "Oh my goodness, you're right. We've got monkey minds because we're monkeys, and that's terrible. What can we do about it?" And the head monkey replied. The head monkey said, "Well, you know, I've heard how you overcome the monkey mind is through meditation." So he said, "Why don't we monkeys meditate as well?" "Yeah, let's meditate." They jumped up and down. "Yeah, we want to meditate. Woohoo, we'll meditate." That's not meditation. So I said, "What do we do?" He said, "First of all, you've got to get a nice cushion to sit on." "Yeah, let's get a cushion." They jumped up and down. So they all went into the forest. They grabbed some grass, they grabbed some leaves, and they made nice little zafus for themselves. So that's called a zafu. Nice little cushion to sit on. "Now what do we do next? What do we do next?" said the monkeys. "The next thing you do, you sit down cross-legged. Right leg over the left leg. Right paw over the left paw. Thumbs touching." They haven't got thumbs. Yeah, have they got thumbs, monkeys? Yeah, they have. I don't know. "Back straight, head down, and watch your breath. Breathe in and breathe out." And all the monkeys did that. That's the first time in history that monkeys ever meditated. For about 1 minute. "Excuse me," said one of the monkeys. "Excuse me." And they all opened their eyes, because they weren't in jhana yet. And the monkey put up his hand and said, I've been thinking. "Don't you remember that we planned to raid the banana plantation today for lunch? And I keep thinking about that. It's what I've got to do, you know, soon. And I can't stop thinking about that future. So, my idea is, let's go and raid the plantation first. Get that out of the way, and then we can meditate without having to think about it. You know what it's like, you know, you've got something to do. Let's get it out of the way first of all, then I can meditate, I don't have to think about anything." "Yeah, good idea," said all the monkeys. So they got up from their zafus, they swung off to the banana plantation, they stole a lot of bananas, they didn't eat them yet, because it's not lunchtime. Instead, they put all the bananas in a big heap, and then they went back to their cushions, sat on their cushions, right leg over the left leg, right paw over the left paw, thumbs touching, back straight, head down, watching their breath. They got that out of the way. "Excuse me," said one of the monkeys. "I've had an idea. You know, I can't stop thinking that before we eat those bananas, we have to peel them first. Can we please get that out of the way first of all? And then I don't have to think about it." "Good idea," said all the monkeys. They all got off their cushions and they started peeling the bananas. They didn't eat them yet, There wasn't much time. Having peeled all the bananas, they put them in a big heap, all peeled. They went back to their zafiras, their cushions. Right leg over the left leg, right paw over the left paw. Back straight, heads down, meditating on the breath. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing. Excuse me! Said one of the monkeys. I can't stop thinking about those bananas. You know, before we eat them, we have to put them in our mouth. Let's just put it in our mouth first of all. We won't eat it, just put them in our mouth. To get that out of the way. Good idea, said all the monkeys. So they all jumped up, they all took a banana each, put it in their mouth. Now, a couple of monkeys put two bananas in. I've seen you. And then they went back to meditate with bananas in the mouth. Now close your eyes, right leg over the left leg, right paw over the left paw, thumbs touching, back straight, head down, eyes closed. And guess what happened as soon as everyone had their eyes closed? They ate all those bananas. And then they got up and left. And that's the only meditation a monkey could do. Now you know what the monkey mind is. Let's get this out of the way first. And then I'll meditate. Let's get this plan finished first, and then I'll start being peaceful. Let's work out what this memory means first, and then I'll let go. That is called the monkey mind. They know what it is now. So look, get peace out of the way first of all, and do all this other stuff afterwards. Especially all your organizers. You know, you've got to organize this and organize that. No, do that later on. Get peace out of the way first. And then do all the other stuff. Just like my favorite Buddhist joke. I'm very pleased now that Buddhism is becoming popular in the West. We now have Buddhist jokes. Real Buddhist jokes. And this is my favorite one about the lay person who rang up the monk at the temple. He said, look, I need you to come to my house to do some chanting. And the monk who picked up the phone said, I'm sorry, I'm busy today. And the person said, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing nothing. That's what a monk is supposed to do. Now I'm a monk, okay, I'm doing nothing today. This is my doing nothing day. Now fortunately, the man was a good Buddhist and understood, okay, fair enough. So he rang that monk the next day. He said, I rang yesterday, remember. Can you come to my house today? I really need some chanting. And the monk replied, I'm sorry, I'm busy. That's what you said yesterday. What are you doing today? He said, I'm doing nothing. But that's what you're doing yesterday. Yes, said the monk, I'm not finished yet. Now that's a very good Buddhist joke, but it's very profound. So if anybody asks you a question, say, so I'm busy. What are you doing? I'm nothing, doing nothing. When I get nothing out of the way, then I'll come and help you. Giving it priority. I know that is where you can be still and peaceful. If you give stillness and peace priority over all these other thoughts, over all these other duties, all these other things you think you have to do, make doing nothing more important, and then you'll be able to meditate. Get that out of the way first before you do all the other stuff. It's why sometimes that when I was meditating and started thinking, I started to contemplate, why am I thinking? You know, most of the thoughts which went through my mind weren't important. You didn't need to think about those things, but why did you do them? Because at the time, I was considering those thoughts to be most important, to be really valuable, I had to think this out first of all. I had to make the plans. That was crucial. That was important. I gave those thoughts such a high value. That is why they stayed in my mind. Because I gave them value. Now I realize how much more valuable peace is. Stillness is far more important than anything else. So all those other stuff, sorry, you have to wait. Because peace and stillness is far more important. It's also one of the reasons why when people get these terrible diseases like cancer, they become great meditators. Why? Because it's really important now. They've got a cancer. If they don't meditate, they're going to die. Now that really makes it important. Or, is it really difficult being a monk? I can't really tell lies. But I'd love to one evening just turn down all the lights and tell you there's a real ghost in the temple. Now that will make you meditate. Because you're scared. Oh my goodness. I then go outside after the talk because the ghost might get me. So you're meditating here all night. Because when you really have to, then you can. It's amazing. Why is that? Because meditation is really, really important. When, again, I first went to Thailand, they used to tell me about this great meditation monastery in Laos. This was just before the communists took over Laos. And this one famous meditation teacher would take his new disciples on a walk through the jungle, which lasted all day. So walking through the hot jungle up and down these mountains, because Laos is a very mountainous country, all the monks were really tired and exhausted. They just wanted to have a shower and then maybe take a rest when it got to 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. But this monk always got this teacher always managed to get his disciples to arrive in this clearing in the jungle around 4 to 5 p.m. And in that clearing were these magnificent tall trees in this virgin jungle. And the monks before had put up these bamboo ladders so you could climb up to the high branches of these trees, where there were little platforms just the size of the mat you're sitting on, with no railings. And he took the monks up one to each platform, sat them down there, told them to meditate, and then he took the ladder away and said, "I'll come back tomorrow morning." So there you were, tired, exhausted, thirsty, 100 feet up on the branch of a tree, on a small platform, with no railing. Do you think you'd have stop and talk or start snoring? Even though you're tired, you're very alert. And many monks got great meditation up on those platforms. At least the ones who survived told the story. But what it was a teaching was, when you really have to, you can. When it's important, it was easy to meditate. Because you give value to peace, value to stillness. So in order to calm your mind down, in order to overcome what we call defilements, in order to be able to keep the mind still, don't use willpower, use wisdom power. Give value to peace. Give value to silence. Give value to mindfulness. It's really important. Not thinking, not doing things. And when you give value to peace and stillness, you don't have a monkey mind anymore. You're not trying to get all these things out of the way. In other words, thinking, collecting the bananas is more important than meditating. you realize stillness is the most important thing in the world. Peace of mind. Just being here. Your family, the stock market, the soccer, relationships, whatever else you think is important, give more importance to stillness, to peace, to awareness. And then you'll find the mind will incline towards that peace and stillness, and all the thoughts will vanish. Why? Because they're not important anymore. So that's an important way to actually develop the mind. When you understand craving is what thinking is all about. The thinking is like the tools of craving. It's just how you do your craving by thinking, I want this, I want to do that, I want to work this out, I want to get that out. That's not important. Stillness, letting go, is important. That's what you've come here for. If you want to think, go back to Singapore or Malaysia. If you want to be peaceful, stay here. Sometimes, again, people have the idea that through thinking that you can work out the truth. That's why we have great philosophers. These philosophers, have they got anywhere? I think it was about 20, 30 years ago. It was the end of Western philosophy. Because some philosopher, he worked out logically, and no one's ever been able to disprove this, he worked out you can't prove anything. Imagine that in philosophy. You worked out you can't prove anything. And it's a watertight argument. That stops everything. There's no point anymore. They finally found out you can't prove a thing. So what? Stop thinking about it. Instead, we see the truth. We don't think about it. The great simile is the simile of the lake. And we've got a lake down there, just in the garden. That's the lake for you to understand how the mind works. If you go and have a look on that lake, if it's a very still day, if there's no wind and there's no ducks in that lake, you will find the water becomes so calm and so even that there's not even a ripple on that surface, and only then does it become like a mirror. So you can see the trees on the other side. At night time you can see the full moon, which is up now. Only when the lake is perfectly still. But if there's any ripple there, it distorts the image. You can't see anything clearly. It's not the real image. It's bent, distorted. In the same way, if you have thoughts in the mind, they are like the waves on the lake. Even a few thoughts are like ripples. It distorts the truth. You can't see clearly. Which is why thinking never gets you to the truth. It just distorts the truth. But when you stop the thinking and give value to stillness and peace, when that's the most important for you, then sooner or later, your mind is going to be still like the lake. And then it will reflect the truth. Then you'll see what's real. As the Buddha said, and I'm now going to impress you with Pali. Lots of time people say, oh, Ajahn Brahm, you just tell jokes. Oh, you don't really teach wisdom. You don't know real Buddhism. So every now and again, I quote Pali just to impress people. This is very often the Buddha said, Samadhi Pachaya Yata Buddha Yana Dasana. Which means, from stillness, you see things as they truly are. That is the cause of wisdom. Yata, as Buddha, they are yana dasana, wisdom, insight. The insight into things as they truly are only comes from a still mind. That's why in Buddhism we meditate to become wise. We don't argue and debate. Yeah, we do a little bit of study, but we don't base everything on study. The study is just like the cooking instructions. Like you get cookbooks. They give the instructions, but you can't eat a cookbook. You just got to follow the instructions and put the ingredients together, and then you get the thing you can eat. Many people eat cookbooks. They argue over Abhidhamma. They argue over suttas. They argue over Mahayana versus Theravada versus Vajrayana. They're just arguing over cookbooks instead of actually cooking some food. So here, they're actually cooking the food. We're valuing the silence. And there you see things as they truly are. So what should you do? Be still. You know, even, it's amazing, one of the things which I'm always interested in is just how Buddhism has influenced the other religions. Even Islam. At the Great Mosque, when the pilgrims go there, they wear white and they circumambulate 3 times in a clockwise direction. Where did that come from? That comes from India. That's a Buddhist tradition they're doing there. Or even in the Bible. In Psalms, it says, "Be still and know that thou art God." That's in the Christian Bible. Be still. Basically, know the truth. So that's your job to do. To be still. Stop all the running around. And you can't do that through force. No more like could I stop my crazy mind by saying, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Instead, I let it go. You would do very well in this retreat. Every half an hour or an hour, stop and ask your mind, mind, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? Don't you control the mind. Don't say, mind, you're going to sit meditation. Mind, you're going to take a rest. Mind, you're going to have a cup of tea. Mind, you're going to go for a walk. No. Ask your mind what it wants. And you'll be surprised how peaceful you become. Sometimes your mind will say, I need a rest. Okay, take it for a rest. Sometimes your mind said, I want a cup of tea. You give it a cup of tea. And you'll be surprised. The mind will say, I want to meditate. You sit it down and your meditation will be very peaceful. Because you're working with your mind, not trying to control it. Many people in past retreats have tried that method, and it's brilliant, it works. Sometimes you ask your body, body, what do you need? You know what that is? That's being mindful, aware. And the only way you can be really aware is by asking the question first of all, body, what do you need right now? Actually, I just asked the question, you know what my body says straight away? I need a glass of water. I was so busy talking, I wasn't aware of what my body wanted. Have you noticed that very often? That's why you get sick or tired. Very often in my monk's life, I've asked my body that. And at the most weird times of the day, my body said, look, I need a rest. And if I can, I give myself a rest. In the weirdest times. And I've always find, I indulge that. Because I always find I give myself half an hour on a bed or on a mattress or whatever. And when I still wake up afterwards, I feel so good. And I can easily meditate. What's happening is my body said, look, you know, you've got to work with me, not against me. And my body said, sometimes I need this rest. I don't know why. It may be some illness. It may be some sickness I'm about to get. And my body knows and says, look, give me a rest and we'll be okay. And when you listen to your body like that, it's amazing how much good health you can have. The body always tells you when it's time to stop, but many times we don't listen. My mind tells me when it's time, you know, okay, give yourself a rest. But if you don't ask the question, you'll never hear any answers. So just asking that question is another way to establish mindfulness and awareness. Ask the body, what do you need? What do you want right now? Ask the mind, what do you want? And very often your mind will say, I just want to do some meditation. And then when you're working with the mind, you always have a very good meditation. During the meditation, you ask the mind again, you've had enough yet? Says the mind, no, carry on. Don't worry about you've got sore legs or whatever, or you're going to miss your lunch. You can always have breakfast tomorrow morning. So you ask your mind, what do you want to do? The mind says, I want to carry on. Fine. So sometimes the mind said, enough. And if you go against the mind, you'll always get very tense. So listen to your mind and follow its advice. It's much wiser than you are. In other words, don't be control freak. And that way you'll have some very peaceful, wonderful meditations. So once again, I haven't taught you stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. I've taught you how to meditate. So when I teach you how to meditate, all these stages come along by themselves in due course. And you can feel it. You don't have to say this is beautiful breath or it's limitless. You feel you're getting more peaceful, more calm, more relaxed. You feel much more at ease, much more happy. Because you're not so tight and tense anymore. You're not fighting. And it's really important that you do that. Don't get all these other things out of the way first and then you meditate. Don't get all your washing out of the way. All the brushing of the teeth. Don't worry if your teeth falls out. You can always get false ones. Get all the important things out of the way first of all. And remember that as well. So when your wife asks you at home, can you give me a hand, darling? Always remember to tell her, sorry, I'm busy. What are you doing, husband? I'm doing nothing, just like Ajahn Brahm said. I'm going to finish that first, okay? And get me in trouble again. Okay, so that's the talk this morning about giving value to peace. Giving value to the meditation. Asking your mind and body what to do. And that way you'll have a very peaceful, happy time. Any questions about what I've just been saying? Going, gone. Unfortunately, this morning I have to go out. I've got lots and lots of business.